Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The 49ers have announced their training camp dates for the 2024 offseason. We've got a lot to talk about. Training camp coming up, 2024 season coming up. You know the normal with Brandon Ayuk. I've got my guy Marco here. We're going to break it all down as July comes to a start here. How you doing, my guy?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Can't complain. Just got back from Chicago. Had a great trip out there. That's why I wasn't live or doing anything last week, but back and going now that I'm no longer in Chicago. How you been, man?
Yeah, a little bit of travel myself. Now we're back, you know, in a normal environment. We're ready to stream again, and it's going to be a fun couple of weeks here. You know, training camp coming up at the end of the month in about 2 weeks or so. From there, you know, you got the little ramp up into preseason, and then the 49ers start their 2024 season at the beginning of September. So we've got a lot to definitely look forward to over the next few months, but there's still a good amount, you know, to break down with this team as we get into that period.
Absolutely. And it's going to be very fun the next couple of weeks, especially with the ramp up period, talking 49ers training camp and stuff like that. Most importantly, man, it's that time of year where everyone should be excited. Football's around the corner. A lot of people wait for training camp to start feeling those excitements. Going to be a fun time, man. Obviously, I believe 49ers probably preseason game around August, mid-August. And then I believe college football starts around the same time. NCAA drops soon. Man, football vibes are at an ultimate high right now, man. Like, NCAA drops. Football's NFL's going back to training camp. I'm having a great time, man. It's great. I'm happy, excited.
I agree. I mean, that's the part of it. Football is back. And that's where we're going to start today's show, you know, on a positive note. Because the 49ers, as we've known them to kind of build this roster, you've got a lot of top, high-end talent on this team. You talk about the quarterback position, running back position, receiver position, tight end position, offensive line position. I mean, almost every single position on both sides of the ball really has a top-level talent, and that's a testament to how they've built this team. I want to look one step further, see who are some of those breakout candidates, who are guys who we might be talking about a lot more or in higher regard than we are right now at the end of the season. Let's start on the offensive side of the ball. If any, who are guys that you kind of think could be breakout candidates for the offense in 2024?
Man, this is kind of hard because for the most part, the 49ers offense is pretty set. Like, we know who's a dude and who's not a dude on the offense. Like, we know, like, the Ayuks, the Debos, Christian McCaffreys, George Kittles. Obviously, Logan Thomas is probably up there in that category on a guy in terms of who we might be talking about come this time or midseason. We're talking about, wow, that was a great signing. So he may be a breakout candidate, but it's not like he's breaking out into the NFL where we don't know who Logan Thomas is. Like, for the most part, we know he's a really, really good tight end, could be a quality tight end too. So for us, it's kind of looking deeper into the roster. And when I look at the offensive side of the ball, I'm hoping for a breakout year from a guy like Danny Gray, which I don't expect it to happen. But, like, at what point does he finally get on the field? And I think with Brock Purdy, he would be a perfect fit for Brock Purdy in a way, in the sense of Brock Purdy throws with anticipation. And if you get Danny Gray's speed in the open field, Obviously, I'm not expecting that to happen. I'm just throwing his name out there as an honorable mention. But the main guy I expect for 49ers to break out this year is Jordan Mason.
Jordan Mason.
Yeah, Jordan Mason. Logan Thomas was one, or I felt like he's not really a breakout candidate because the NFL already knows him. Like, we know who he is as an NFL caliber player. Danny Gray is my honorable mention. Wild take, wild to even say Danny Gray, especially after they just got done drafting two receivers. His career is on the line. Truthfully, his career is on the line, and I think that may give him an edge, whether it's in training camp, to be a guy who shows up and shows out. But I think him and Brock Purdy may develop some connection in terms of creating the ability to hit him in stride and letting him his 4.3 speed do what it has to do.
Yeah, it's definitely a take. You know, Danny Gray obviously hasn't been really involved that much. The Niners have given him a couple of chances since drafting him back in 2022 with third round pick. We'll see, because this is the make or break year. If he really can't, you know, get things done right now, you're probably expecting him to be cut at the end of this, at some point, be it this offseason or at the end of this season.
Now, hey, if he breaks out for the Broncos, I still called he broke out.
Hey, I mean, it works out. Maybe he's thinking two steps ahead. He'll get cut. He goes somewhere else. He makes the team. He breaks out. For me, though, you know, I think Jordan Mason is a really good candidate just because it just seems like the breakout has been impending for him. The Niners have now said a couple of times you want to limit McCaffrey's workload a little more. You know, he had 272 carries last year and 83 targets. That's 355 touches, and he only played in 16 games. He missed that last game. You look in the postseason, 74 touches in three games. You know you're going to want to rely on him in the postseason. He had the oblique injury. He was kind of playing hurt towards the end of the year. You want him to be at 100% so that you can get the best out of him in the postseason. And that might lead to some more early carries for guys like Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason, or even a bigger emphasis on the passing attack. And so, to me, that's kind of where you look at Jordan Mason and say, this is a guy who averages 5 yards per carry, a guy who runs with a physical style, a guy who fits the 49ers mold of things. Yes, there are needs that the Niners really like from running backs that Mason maybe has yet to show to put him on the field more consistently, pass protection, his ability as a receiver and things like that. But we'll see how he's developed over the next few weeks in camp, in the preseason, and if that warrants a bigger role. For me, I'm going to go with a couple of interesting names as well. One is a rookie, so I don't know if you consider it a breakout, but a guy who might be poised for a role that a lot of people aren't necessarily talking about is Jacob Cowing. I think Cowing could be a guy who could be solidified as one of those punt return, kick return type of guys. And, you know, that role has kind of become a little more dynamic with the new kickoff rules nowadays. And I think Cowing could be a guy who slots into that role. Remember, Ray McLeod signed a 2-year deal with Atlanta. He's no longer here. The Niners don't really have a reliable option. They had Deebo Samuel return some kicks last year. He's a guy who, if you want to get involved in the game, can definitely be dynamic. You still need a punt returner if that's the case. Bronny Bell was a guy who had that role last year, was inconsistent in the role. And Cowling's a guy who, while at a smaller frame, plays bigger than he is. And he's definitely, you know, a pretty good athlete. He's a guy who can move a lot, move well in space. He's a guy who can be a solid returner for you. I'm curious to see how early he can kind of crack the rotation and getting reps in the offseason at the position. And what can he do with those opportunities? He's a guy who I'm kind of thinking of in that role. And then the last name, it's kind of like a twofold because it stems to that right guard position. I still think there could be some mix-up along the offensive line. Chris Forster alluded to a competition at right guard between three guys, Spencer Burford, Dominic Puni, John Feliciano. We don't know how Jake Brendel looks yet. He hasn't played, he hasn't practiced really this offseason since dealing with the knee arthritis. How is he going to look upon his return? Does that force Feliciano to play some more center than you anticipate? And if so, can that right guard take advantage of the opportunity? Burford's a guy who's played inconsistently, but the Niners have gone to him in the rotation over the last 2 years at right guard. I'm not a big fan of rotations, so I'm hoping that, you know, he could step up to the challenge this year, maybe feel a little bit more comfortable in his role. Or will it be Dominic Puni, a guy who's played 6 years in college, a guy who seems, in my opinion, a little more technically sound than some of the other rookies that you'd expect for a third-round draft pick? He's a guy who could play guard. He's played tackle in college. You wonder, can he kind of slide into that role? Because you'd hope the offensive line to be better, and if so, those are the guys who probably are the key to the formula if you want an upgrade.
Yeah, and honestly, we're talking about the offensive line. Like, truthfully, I think the best offensive line they could put out is Trent Williams, Aaron Banks, John Feliciano at center, me at right guard, and then Colt McKivitz at right tackle. No, but in serious, Dominic Puni at right guard. Like, that's honestly the best offensive line they could put out. But I personally, like, obviously on paper. Now, when I look at it, I personally hope they let Burford compete at right tackle. Like, truthfully, he came out as a tackle. Like, why not let him compete at tackle? We obviously saw that he struggles at right guard. It's not as easy for tackles to move into guard or guard to move to tackle. Like, if you're a set player at that position, you're not necessarily, it's not a clean transition. And I don't think people realize how hard it is to transition from tackle to guard or guard to tackle or vice versa. So I'm hoping they let them compete, man. Like, put out your best five. Like, truthfully, your offensive line stinks on the right side. You've known this for the last 2 years. Your center's he's an average center. He's probably below average, if we're being 100% honest, in Jake Brendel. So when you're looking at the offensive line, like, every position from center to right tackle should be up for grabs. And who wins in training camp? Well, honestly, if I'm the 49ers, right guard is getting lined up. I'm having Javon Hargrave line up over the right guard every single practice and one-on-ones. I'm letting them go up against it as they're competing. And Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd are going to whoop on that right tackle behind every single rep to see who's the best right tackle. Obviously, at center, John Feliciano is a better center than Brendel, or at least he can be. So it's like the O-line has been the issue for the last couple of years. They didn't upgrade it. Now let them compete. We obviously know your left tackle and left guard are really good. Let them compete at every other position. Now, I understand continuity is huge, so I do expect one of those guys to win that job. So I'm glad you brought up the offensive line. I do expect Puni to break out and be a starting right guard in the NFL. Anyone else along the offensive line or possibly may break out and push their name during training camp?
Yeah, I think if you're looking at it, just in terms of opportunity, the tight end spot is where you're hoping something happens. We mentioned Logan Thomas earlier. He's a guy who you kind of expect. He's like what you can get out of.
We might have lost you. We might have lost Rohan. Comment below if you lost Rohan, if he's static.
He's a guy who can fit in that. We are good now? You're good. I think we're good.
Jeez, Rohan froze. Rohan is gone. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
You're better now.
You're better now. Yeah, you're back. I'm going to have to tag in Jason.
I don't know what happened.
All right, you're back, Rohan. You're good.
But what I was talking about is the tight end position. We know what Logan Thomas is. And then when you look at the rest of the tight end group, it's a bunch of young guys. You have, the two draftees from last year, Cam Latu, who's still recovering from injury. Stinks. You really don't know what you're going to get out of him. And then you have Braden Willis. And so I think the two guys there, you hope something kind of pops out for them as to how they not only warrant roster spots, but also warrant something else, in general. And then you also have a guy like Mason Plein from Furman, who's an undrafted free agent. And so I think that that's something that you also could look to at least explore something in. I think this is a make or break season for a lot of these guys, because you really want the opportunity for some of these younger guys to get on the field at tight end. And the Niners have made investment at the position with the third round pick. I know one was a seventh round pick, one's an undrafted free agent, but you made an investment with the third round pick. Is it going to be worth it? I think that tight end is a spot where you get to see some true colors as well this offseason.
And the player you didn't mention in the tight end room that I'm excited to watch when I'm at training camp, at least myself, is actually Mason Plein. The kid's 6'7", 6'6", roughly. in that range, 250. Now, not a good blocker, but he's a former basketball player. So I've seen former basketball players convert to tight end, and they've done well. So it's definitely interesting to see how all that shakes out. But I want to see Pline get a chance at tight end. I mean, he could probably be your fourth tight end, probably a practice squad guy, if not push for that third tight end spot. Like you said, I think the tight end room is going to end up being the third battle between Braden Willis and Latu. I think we have our top two tight ends, George Kittle, Logan Thomas, and I think it's a battle between Braden Willis. And I think Braden Willis wins that battle between the two, gives you a little bit more. But hey, I'm not going to count out Pline because I heard he had a really good OTA session and everything like that. Shout out to Justin, Cubs fan. He kept complaining about my White Sox hat. So when I was in Chicago, I had to get me a Cubs hat, man. So I had to get me a Cubs hat.
We talked a good amount, though, about the offense. I think the more exciting side, at least for me, is the defense because you've got some young guys, you know, in that group. I'm curious to see who can break out of this group, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Who are kind of some of your guys that stand out to you ahead of training camp, you know, at along the defense?
So along the defense, I'm pretty excited to watch the young linebacker, D Winters. I want to see D Winters. I don't want to see, and I'm probably in the minority on this. I thought Devondre Campbell was a terrible signing. I was not a fan of it. He wasn't good in Green Bay. Now, obviously, the scheme change or how he's used maybe a little bit different with the 49ers. I'm not a big fan. I want to see D Winters, and I want to see Jalen Graham. The two young linebackers compete. I think they should be given a shot to start in that Will linebacker spot where Dre Greenlaw normally plays and that sandbacker role. I think you should give those two young players an opportunity over Devondre Campbell. Now, I get Devondre Campbell's a veteran in the building, but I feel like you signed the veteran to have a safety net. Now, you let your top two rookies from last year at the linebacker spot compete. Those are two guys I'm excited to see. Obviously, everyone's probably going to be excited to see Jair Brown in his second year. He had a really good rookie year, so everyone's probably going to be excited to see him. So I'm going to give a couple of other players that I'm excited to see outside of Jair Brown. Guys that are in their second year or have been on the roster for a little while. So Robert Beal, I want to see how have you developed? Have you gotten a pass rush move? Is it just the speed to power that you still have? What is there that you have outside of your speed? Another guy I want to watch in camp is Daral Luter. I know there was a question about Daral Luter in the chat that I starred regarding do we see him as a free safety? I don't. I think he's a true corner, more of a boundary corner than anything. And I want to see him compete, not necessarily for a starting job, because obviously I think the starting jobs are locked up between Ward, Renardo Green, who I'm sure you're going to talk about as a breakout guy, and Denominal Lenore. But the question is do they see Demo and Green as both nickel corners? And I think that's where Daral Luter could possibly be a fit for a starting job. Another guy that I'm really excited to see, and I want to see how he looks, because the 49ers, they went out and it wasn't much confidence to this player. And I feel like it's interesting on the approach they went. Drake Jackson and Khalil Davis. I'm going to go give two guys. I think Drake Jackson on his way out. I think his stock is extremely down. It's probably the lowest it's been as a 49er. They showed what they feel about him by signing edge rushers and defensive tackles who could play inside and outside. They don't really like Drake Jackson in terms of what he's been the past few years, and they need someone to step up. The other is Khalil Davis. They went out and traded for Malik Collins. They went out and got Jordan Elliott. Where does Khalil Davis fit in this situation? They need a bigger run stuffer, and that's what Khalil Davis is. I'm not sure how everything plays out, but those are some guys that I'm looking forward to watching, or at least expecting to do something in training camp. Now, breakout candidate for the season, I'm probably going to go D Winters if it's for the season. I think D Winters, whether it's on special teams, whether it's on defense, I think D Winters starts to become a guy that we're excited to watch.
I think, honestly, yeah.
And I didn't do Renardo Green because I know Rohan was going to go after Renardo Green, right? I know he was going to talk about him a little bit, so I don't want to double up just because we have not talked about who we were going to mention and everything. But just knowing my guy Rohan, I feel like he's going to talk about Renardo Green, and if he doesn't, now he will.
Now, when you look at the defense, I honestly think this is why I'm excited about talking about this group. I think you can literally name at least one player at every position that you get. You could, you know, there's a reason for either optimism or there's a need to watch them this offseason. If you go down the line, Marco mentioned a lot of names, but at defensive end, Robert Beal's the guy that stands out. You signed two edge rushers, but Robert Beal is poised to make this 53-man roster, you know, and it's coming off a season where he didn't really get much action. You're thinking that year two is when he can maybe get to that 15-20% snap count threshold or something like that as a pure pass rushing edge. Robert Beal, he's a guy who, you know, the defensive the coaching staff liked last year as a guy who has a good burst, you know, around 250 pounds or so off the edge. How was he involved? Because that year one to year two jump, but really that true offseason overall, your first true offseason, which this will be for Robert Beal, where you're not in learning mode, you got a chance to grow. I think that that's something that Robert Beal, you know, you're hoping that he can take advantage of and see if he can push some of the veterans or at least warrant himself to have a roster spot this year. Defensive tackle, Khalil Davis is the guy who's the odd man out right now because you've got so many young guys, not even necessarily young guys, but you just got good talent or good depth in the room. You go after the two guys with Collins and Jordan Elliott to complement Javon Hargrave. You expect a good rotation among the three. And then you still have guys like T.Y. McGill and Kevin Givens. It's not like those guys are not on the roster anymore. Then in comes Khalil Davis. You know, even with some of the depth that you lose in the offseason, you added other depth and you're still so deep at the position. Where is the role for him, despite him being a guy who had unique bursts because he played linebacker before and things like that for a defensive tackle? You go to the linebacker spot, you drafted the two young guys last year, the winners, Jalen Graham. What's their next step for them? Because they were kind of, you know, solidified in that number two line at linebacker alongside Demetrius Flanagan Fowles last year. No Oren Burks. You bring in Devondre Campbell, who's assumed to be the star, you know, that second starter. We'll see what ultimately happens. But with Dre Greenlaw initially out, it's going to open up one spot in that base package, at least early on. Who's going to get it? Is it going to be Flanagan Fowles? Can one of these young guys push? Because that's what the 49ers want. Who's their next wave of linebackers? Because as we said, I believe, 2 weeks ago in one of our last episodes, 2025 is a crucial offseason for the team in when it comes to contract extensions and when it comes to dealing with players who might be impending free agents. Dre Greenlaw is one of them. Now, the team could very well sign Greenlaw back, knowing that his price is probably decreased a bit coming on an injury. But that's a lot of trust, you know, a lot of faith in the injury. Greenlaw coming off a significant injury as well. And he's an impending free agent. And the Niners have a lot of other players they have to pay. If you're going to let go of Greenlaw, you'd much rather have some confidence in one of these two young guys or some of the other guys in the group that you have a replacement ready so that they could step in year three and be a full-time starter. That's where Marco's coming in with D Winters or Jalen Graham. You're hoping they can assume some of those responsibilities now so that they can step up for a bigger role in the future. You go to quarterback. Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned a great point because we probably don't bring back Dre Greenlaw. Let's say extend him now. And even then for Dre Greenlaw, he probably wants to bet on himself because he wants to get more money and show that he's healthy throughout the season, hit the free agent market, and then let people compete for his price tag or what they feel his value is. Because to be honest, he was extremely underpaid when the Niners extended him at an early time, which was a smart signing. So I'm just excited to see who steps.
Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you've got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Because I don't think they'll be able to bring back Dre Greenlaw with all the free agents they have. So great point you mentioned there.
And if you look at the linebacker contracts, they're only going up for off-ball or, you know, for the off-ball linebackers. Roquan Smith took a pay cut and he got 3 years, $41 million from a good team in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dre Greenlaw is in that category when healthy. If I don't anticipate he signs a deal prior to kind of coming back and proving himself, because if he proves himself for 12 games this year, plays at the level that we know him to play, he's going to get a 3 year, $41 million type of dollar deal, or even more, you know, maybe even in the Tremaine Edmonds range at 472 or whatever it might be. The Niners can't afford that for two off-ball linebackers after paying Fred Warner the top deal in the NFL. And so that's where, like I said, you want to look at some of those younger guys. Cornerback, Terrell Luter's a clear guy to talk about, because when I look at cornerback for this team with the versatility, I want to look at boundary guys and I want to look at inside guys. Who do I think could step up in spot duty at either position? Because Charvarius Ward has had a couple of in-game injuries. You want to be prepared for that next man up. And the Niners had uncertainty at the position last year because they had a rotation with Ambry Thomas and Isaiah Oliver, who both played different positions. What are they going to kind of go for this year? You have two strong cornerbacks with Ward and Lenore. Renardo Green's the guy who I expect to kind of get into that number three role. And the reason is the Niners need a clear direction at cornerback. Their five top guys are free agents next year. Outside of Renardo Green, almost the entirety of that cornerback room is a free agent next year. You want to know, is this guy who we took a second round pick on ready for the big stage? The way you find out is playing him this year. Because if you find out that he's ready, it makes letting go of one of those, top two corners a lot easier. But if he's not the guy for you, you have a much tougher decision to make next offseason, because you might need to figure out, you know, how do we maybe salvage the cornerback position? Do we ultimately pay both of our guys and maybe make a sacrifice elsewhere? I think the best way to find out is letting Renardo Green, you know, play this year. And we've both watched his film. We like his film. It seems like he's going to play on the outside. I'd personally prefer to keep him on the outside. And that might be the long-term plan after one of these guys potentially hits free agency. But it seems like Renardo Green might be a starter for you this year. And I think the Niners are going to, you know, potentially have their best trio of corners they've had in a long time, especially running that press man system that Renardo Green flourished in at Florida State.
This is the best trio of corners the Niners have had in the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era, in my opinion. This group is pretty damn loaded in terms of even depth wise. Like, they have dudes who could come in and play and start a spot start every once in a while. It's just very interesting. Obviously, Charvarius Ward has a dead hit if they don't extend him before the season starts. So a lot of things could be shaken up. I mean, we could kind of see the way the Niners may go in terms of, do they extend him now before the season? At least before week one. If they don't, they still take that dead hit. So they may just let him walk at that point, because now you're able to keep Denomino Lenore and go the draft route. Looking at players that were expected to break out or be talked about differently this time next season, a player that I expect to be talked about much differently.
I'm waiting for you to say the guy that I think you're going to say. Go ahead.
Javon Hargrave. Was that the guy?
No.
Who are you expecting?
He's a guy who you've hyped up a little bit before, an underrated guy. But I was talking about Taylor Hawkins at safety. Safety was the last position group we'd get to. But, yeah.
So my bad. So I didn't know we were at the but I think Javon Hargrave. The reason is he was terrible in the playoffs, man. Like, he was out of shape all season last year. He was not what they signed a $20 million player for. Like, they signed a $20 million player to be a legit difference maker come playoffs, and he was not that. I think him coming into the offseason, him understanding that he needs to be in shape, that he knows he wasn't himself. I think he's a player we talk about come playoff time, like, wow, like he may be able to wreck games in the playoffs for the 49ers versus that dude's a liability. Get him off the damn field. Like, big difference in terms of how we view him. Now, I didn't really make me like a breakout or who he's going to make a name for himself. Obviously, he's a $20 million player for a reason. But the way the Niners have viewed him, or fans have viewed him last season coming into like the offseason, wasn't as good as they were expecting it to be. And I think he changes the way we view that signing.
I think that's now, a take. Yeah.
And you mentioned a player I'm really high on, Taylor Hawkins. Now, the interesting part with Taylor Hawkins and everything like that is I don't see the avenue for him unless the 49ers are fine with getting rid of George Odom. But even then, didn't George Odom just sign an extension, or was it a 1-year deal?
2-year.
Yeah. So it's at that point, it's like, do they want to take that dead kit with George Odom? I mean, it was a two-year 7.5. So they have a 2.5 million cap hit from him on this year. And then they have an out after. So I don't see the avenue for Taylor Hawkins to make the roster outright on the 53 right away. Now, I think he's a better player than George Odom. He's a good special teamer, a good safety. It just, there's no opportunity for him with roster politics and how much George Odom is being paid. I think Taylor Hawkins could find his way on the practice squad when the Niners decide to let Hufanga go in the offseason, because they don't expect to pay him. I don't expect them to pay him what he should command. They could probably have a safety who could come in and be that fourth or third safety on their roster.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. You realize that with the addition of Malik Mustafa, really not a spot for that next safety. You got, you know, Niners always carry four. You don't expect them to carry five with Taylor Hawkins being the fifth, especially because they're so deep at cornerback. And when you look at a couple of these decisions, you know, you mentioned a guy like Treverius Ward. He's got the dead cap it for next year, like around $12.5 million. I think the Niners, they're going to have to come to a decision where you're going to see their philosophy. Are they going to be willing to eat dead cap now year after year? They're eating with Arik Armstead, chose to have him as a post-June 1st designation. And the goal for them is ultimately trying to have the philosophy of spending more cash maybe than other teams. Not necessarily, you obviously can't have, you know, a higher salary table, or you can't have higher cap hits than other teams. You know, there's obviously the hard cap that you kind of have to deal with. But the way the Niners are going with their restructures is ultimately with a cash heavy owner, you're able to spend more than other teams. And that might lead to you, you know, incurring more dead cap hits and things like that down the line. I'm curious to see, do they ultimately let Treverius Ward walk, eat the $12 million, knowing that they can make other moves, carry over money and things like that? Or do they say, this is not where we want to bite the bullet? You pay Treverius Ward a top level contract, deal with it 2-3 years down the line. You go ahead and let Deandre Lenore walk before he gets a massive deal. And, you know, you think about it this way, because the reason I bring it up is the next guy you brought up was Javon Hargrave. Javon Hargrave is a guy who the Niners, you know, didn't have a great year one. The Niners redid his deal, which makes it a little harder to move off of him. But they could do a similar thing like they did to Arik Armstead, where if you use a post-June 1st cut, you find a way to, you know, you eat a good amount of money. You don't save salary for that specific year. But it's a way to potentially, you know, bite the bullet and you move forward. And so that's where I think it's a crucial year for Javon Hargrave, because if he does have a good year, then you have a couple of more discussions where do you potentially entertain a trade? What do you ultimately do? Or is he the guy who you build, you know, through the rest of his prime? Is he the guy who you build around at defensive tackle like the Niners are doing this year? And so I think there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. And that's why I think, in my opinion, this year is just so important. You already had the opportunity last year. You struck out in the Super Bowl. And now this year, with so many impending decisions coming after this year, you really hope the Niners can pull it off, because they might then treat one of the next years as kind of not necessarily a reset year, but you start thinking a little more for the future, the way to re you know, build the thing correctly and move forward from there.
And I think you mentioned a pretty interesting conversation starter, in my opinion, in terms of is Jed York willing to be a guy who puts money up front, cash, right? Obviously, the way they restructure things and the way they put things out. Very interesting conversation right there, because now how much is an owner willing to pay cash when they're not winning Super Bowls, right, or championships? For example, look at the Warriors, fellow Bay Area team, right? Their owner was willing to do it when they were winning the winning rings. Recently, the last couple of years, they started losing. Obviously, you weren't having winning rings. This year, he took the approach with, oh, no, get under the tax, man. Get under the tax. I'm not trying to pay this luxury tax to not win a ring. So similar situation for the Niners. Essentially, when you're paying cash, it's essentially kind of like the luxury tax where you're forking out extra money that still needs to be paid no matter what, and you're not winning a ring. How many years is Jed York willing to do that and give John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan the opportunity to put all their marbles into the season, or all their chips into the basket at that point? And I don't think he has many years to do that. I think Jed York will give them 1 or 2 years to do that, in the sense of if they don't win a ring, he ain't going to pay an extra $30 million for four players or $50 million because they wanted to restructure contracts and they didn't have nothing to show for it. Now, if they win a ring, he's going to buy, I give you another $100 million up front. Restructure everyone you want.
Yeah.
And he would, you're right. Like, that's how I see it, at least. Like, I don't see him being that kind of owner, even when they're losing, in terms of, hey, I'm going to keep forking out cash to give you guys the opportunity to win. I don't see Jed York doing that. I could be wrong. So I completely weird way of seeing Jed York. I just don't see him being that owner.
We'll see, because I haven't seen the evidence yet that proves York won't be that owner. And maybe you have, you just need to wait a couple of years. But when you look at the NFL and the way that teams kind of spend, you know, over in Cleveland, they spend a lot. You know, they do a lot of restructures. They spend a lot. You have a couple of teams where they have this type of formula, and the Niners are one of them. I think if you look right now, they're spending in cash flow $305 million this year, or somewhere in the $295 to $305 million range. And the cap is at $256 million or something like that. You know, it's or whatever the cap might be at. They're spending significantly more than what the cap allows for them, but that's because they're doing it with cash, not with the actual cap hits. Because remember, a lot of these restructures, you're sending cash out front so that they can help the team by lowering their base salary for the year, putting it into a signing bonus. And so we'll see how it ultimately goes. On this comment, I don't know what Marco's full take is, but I thought that extension last year was pretty telling before, you know, the Niners had really accomplished their goal. I'm a guy who really supports Kyle Shanahan. And if you were just thinking purely from a team perspective, you probably don't give him that extension. You wait and see. Now, to me, that was,
I think he earned, honestly, I think he had earned that extension in a way, to be honest with you. Like, when we look at everything, he had gotten his team to Super Bowl in 2019. It's not that
he earned it. I think he earns the extension, but you're hoping, you know, I think it takes away a window. I think it takes away the pressure competing at a window, because Shanahan's contract was going to initially end in 2025-2026, which aligns with the window of Brock Purdy. You know, you're tying him into the window of the quarterback.
But this was before Brock Purdy went crazy.
No,
the extension came before,
which is after his his rookie year, where he led them to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, so he was. I felt like, so before, it was before his first year. So the year they went to the NFC Championship, he got hurt against the Eagles. It came that year. So what I'm looking at it is, like, he actually earned it. Like, he took the Niners to the Super Bowl in 2019. Their teams have been competitive. He got them to the NFC Championship with a seventh round quarterback at the time. So I felt like he had earned it. Now, I feel like you also don't want pressure on your head coach in this situation at the time. Now there needs to be pressure put. Like, you have everything. The Niners didn't know whether that they were going to have a quarterback or their quarterback was the answer. Right now, you have no questions, the best roster on paper. And there's no questions about it. Like, the Niners have the best roster on paper. You better go out and win a damn Super Bowl If you don't, there's issues. Now it's like this next negotiation and the next contract. Then I feel like if they're to come out and extend him this offseason or next offseason, and he doesn't win a Super Bowl, I would be like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, and then that's where this comment would come. Like, yeah, oh, you're an owner who just wants cash in his pocket and not rings at that point. Like, that's how I kind of see it. And I understand there's no other good. You're not going to replace Kyle Shanahan with the head coach out there right now. I really don't think you can. Ben Johnson, I possibly, but realistically, is we have a top five head coach, and you're not going to replace that.
And again, this is not me saying that I don't think
Kyle Rohan wants to fire Kyle.
Nor is this me saying he doesn't deserve the extension. My way of thinking was initially, let's see if he can ultimately get over the hump now. Because, like I said, I've been one of the bigger Shanahan guys. I do believe that he's a top coach in the NFL, and I don't believe that there's going to be a replacement out there for the 49ers that can do a better job.
There's not. And there's not. And I think Invader 49, I think you misunderstood me. I don't think there's anyone out there that can replace him. But also, you don't want to keep giving a coach the mentality or the okay with getting to the NFC championships and getting to Super Bowls and not winning Super Bowls. I don't think there's a head coach out there that can replace Kyle Shanahan this year, possibly next year, even in 2 other years. Now, do I think Ben Johnson could be a really good head coach? Yes. And I know you mentioned Johnson. I mentioned Johnson earlier as well. I think they could be a really good coach. I don't know if he could be better than Kyle. But at that point is, even if you hire a coach, the expectation for the next coach to come in is you better win a damn Super Bowl. So I just don't like the fact that we constantly say it's okay to get second place. And hey, Niners have never been okay with it. And all of a sudden it became a more popular take. Well, he gets us to the Super Bowl. I don't care who gets who to the Super Bowl. Win me a damn ring. Like, why do we all of a sudden as fans start giving the head coach the okay with not winning a Super Bowl? Like, he's gotten there twice. Like, are we okay with continuing to just getting second place and having great good seasons and nothing to show for it? Nobody ever talks. No one's ever going to talk about the teams that we had in 2012 and 2013 as Super Bowl winners, the 2019 roster as a Super Bowl winner. In the next couple of years, if we don't win, no one's ever going to talk about them except 49er fans to talk about how great of a team we had during that run. No one ever talks about losing teams.
That's true. That's true. Meaning,
I don't think meaning so.
They're okay. What do you mean by they're okay?
I don't think they're okay with just winning games. I think they want to win a Super Bowl. I think the players, and I think the players have grown frustrated with not winning the Super Bowl, getting back to back.
I think they've been frustrated since 2019. Honestly,
I agree.
At least the long term guys. Yeah.
8-4 with postseason record is great. Guess what? He's 0-2 in the Super Bowl. It's all that matters. Truthfully, it's what matters.
I want to go back to some of these as we.
And what's crazy, and real quick, Rohan, before you go back to that. And what's crazy is I think Kyle Shanahan is a top five head coach, and I think he is a phenomenal head coach. But I'm not going to give him the leeway to say, you know what? Hey, you have to win it. Even if he's going up against a Hall of Fame head coach and a QB, guess what? Last year, the Chiefs were not as dominant as they were in 2019. They didn't have receivers. The defense held the damn Chiefs. And a head, you want to put it as a head, Hall of Fame head coach and Hall of Fame quarterback. We held a Hall of Fame head coach, offensive mind, and a quarterback to 19 points of regulation. That is the opportunity to beat Mahomes the year he was down, the year that team wasn't as good offensively. That's my opinion on it. But go ahead, Rohan. Well, this conversation will continue. It's for another day, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I'd love to have this debate. We can make that a 45-minute debate. I wanted to go back because I wanted to just show
another excuse. No, it is excuses. We'll have this conversation another day. No disrespect, Invader. I love you having this conversation. It's good conversation you're having, bro.
I wanted to just go back to some of the earlier questions because we had them. Wanted to get back to them before the end of today's show, so we didn't forget them. Throwback initially started. What UDFAs are you watching could eventually make the team? He'd say Cody Schrader. Is there any kind of that for you that you could see as a possibility?
Man, if Cody Schrader makes this roster over Isaac Garendo, man, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? I think he can, to be honest with you. I really think he can in a way, because what Kyle looks for and what Turner looks for in their running backs are running backs who could find the hole, get downhill, and go, right? Based off of the reports we saw from OTAs, and I know it's just OTAs, but a running back should be able to see the holes no matter OTAs, training camp, walkthroughs. You should be able to see the holes. The issue with Isaac Garendo was he wasn't able to see the holes and was falling flat on his face out of the backfield. That's not a good early sign for OTAs, walkthroughs, or anything. Now, Schrader runs with the mentality of, I'm going to run through you, I'm going to dominate you, and let's go. So it's pretty cool to see Schrader. I thought Schrader had a phenomenal college career after I went back and watched him. He's very gritty. I'm a player who you truly want to have on your roster in a way. He may be a guy who could return kicks, might not have that breakaway speed, but shout out to you, Roger. But it's going to be interesting to see Schrader versus Isaac Garendo in camp. Now, one of those two guys doesn't make the roster. I think Mitchell ends up making the roster because Kyle likes him. But one of those two guys don't make the roster. It probably is Schrader, just because Garendo was drafted early and they traded up for him.
Yeah, I honestly don't see Schrader making the roster. And I wanted to shout out both Roger, shout out Justin. Thank you both for tuning in for this long. But yeah, I wanted to – I don't know if it'll be Schrader. I honestly think if there's a guy to make the roster, it would probably be Plein, the tight end from Furman. And it's a shot in the dark. If I were to guess, I'd say zero UDFAs. But Plein, I think, has the best shot, just because I think tight end is just such a toss-up right now. In the sense, if he really does shine, I don't think that there's a reason for roster politics that you would take somebody else over him of that backup group. You know, if he really does kind of excel in a role, I think practice squad is ultimately kind of the spot for him. We'll see if he can kind of grow later on. That'd be my guess, though, if somebody kind of doesn't.
Before I get to another guy, me and Jesse are going to go next Thursday. I was on vacation last week. Jesse's on vacation this week. So we will be going. We will be going back, but just time due to like our schedules and everything, it didn't work out the last 2 weeks. But we will go on. Me and Jesse are going to be going Thursdays. Another guy I really think has the possibility to make it over a player the Niners drafted is Drake Nugent over Jarrett Kingston. I think he has a better chance. I think he's a better player at that center position. Obviously, they view Jarrett Kingston as a center more than a guard. Another guy is a defensive tackle, Evan Anderson, a big guy, 320 roughly. I'm not sure on terms of exact weight, but he's around 320, 6'1", 6'2". Could be a nose, like a big nose stuffer, where a nose tackle where you need to stop the run. The Niners need someone like that. When you're running a wide nine, you need bigger bodies in the inside. That's why DJ Jones was a phenomenal player for the 49ers. He was that bigger body who could stop the run and get after the quarterback. Can Evan Anderson get after the quarterback? Not too sure, but he could sure as hell stop the run from what the few clips I have seen. So I'm excited to see him in training camp. Another guy, I don't know. I don't think he makes the roster. I don't even think he makes the practice squad. But I'm just very excited to see him is Young Owens. I don't think he makes the squad. Maybe practice squad. But definitely want to see Owens at camp. I want to see just the last name alone brings excitement, right? Like, it's Terrell Owens' son, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I want to give a little bit of a take because you said you could see Nugent maybe making it over Kingston. I don't know how hot of a take it is. I don't see either making the 53. I think Nugent
has a better chance.
I don't think either makes the 53. Because of her boy Ben Bartsch. I think Ben Bartsch is gonna
get out of here. Good shot to make the video. Rohan's about to get. I'm gonna send Rohan to the dungeon and send him out of here. Kick him off the stream. Jeez, Ben Bartsch.
He ran with the ones at times in OTAs. The Niners, they probably go the same two tackle way, And that's probably the one thing holding up, you know, Ben Barge's spot, because you have your five starters. You're going to have Burford and Puni. That's seven guys. And then you have Moore and Hubbard. I think that that's your nine offensive linemen. But if they feel confident that one of those tackles could be a swing guy, I think the next up is Ben Barch.
You're not wrong. I agree with you. I'm just trying to joke about it because I don't want to be as serious about Ben Barch, about like the situation. But you're not wrong, especially because Jake Brendel's knee injury. The Niners have an out this year with Jake Brendel's contract. This knee injury could be a post 6-1 release during camp, during right before the season. They would save $4 million. They would eat, I believe, $2 million next year. But they would save $4 million on his contract this year. So could give them some wiggle room to have everyone on the, that they need on the roster, extra money to roll over or whatever. And especially if his knee injury is not right and you plan on starting Feliciano, can Ben Barch be your backup center? Like, that's kind of how I see it. Like, the money cost. Very interesting. What kind of changed my perspective in terms of everything. I watched the first two episodes of Hard Knocks offseason. And I'm not sure if you watched it, but two completely different teams. A team in the Giants who haven't won much. The Niners, who are a great franchise. But the Giants were talking about, and there's times where he was like, hey, the money value, value in return, what you get. If you have Brendel on your roster and he's not playing much because of that knee injury, him making money on your roster or making that $4 million on your roster is not a good return in investment, especially if Feliciano's going to start at a cheaper rate. So that's kind of like, I'm thinking like, hey, you know what? They may just cut him, save the money, let Feliciano start, possibly give that money to somewhere else or roll it over for the next offseason when they have so many free agents. So that's been making me think a little bit differently. It was a really good show. If you haven't watched it, really good show. Let's go to this comment real quick. Side note on Schrader. He finished his 40 with a bit of a limp, got a minor injury, mid-40s. So probably hurt his official time a bit. It probably did, but his film doesn't show a blazing speed. Like, it's not fast, so it's not his game.
Speed and average kind of athleticism and explosiveness. Yeah. The reason that he fit an NFL style is one cut and go. You know, and he's got grit. He's like a really tough runner.
Rohan, do you take notes at training camp?
I do, unfortunately.
Do you have a notepad?
I ruin a notebook. I don't know where the notebook is. I ruin a notebook every time I go. Going to do the same thing.
Hey, 49ers throwback. If you want, you can buy me the have you guys seen those glasses that have like a – they're like you can't even notice it, but it's like the Snapchat glasses, I think, where like you can record everything. Send me those glasses and I'll record the entire camp. Say I won't.
Hey, you can't say this on camera, like.
Say I won't. Weird. I still said it. I ain't gonna say, what are they gonna, how are they gonna know it's me? Oh, ain't none of those security guards know me.
I might slip. You know, if they slip me a 20, I might have to say something.
A 20, bro. I'll slip you 40, bro. Come on, I'll double the price and not say anything.
Shit, I'll just go back and forth, you know.
All right, so we're gonna leak training camp practice. Everyone's gonna have training camp practice clips. So everyone could drop them. Now that imagine that, bro. Like, I'm just kidding, but imagine someone just showing up with those glasses and recording the entire practice and just dropping it on Twitter. Like, what would the reaction be?
Like that Trey Lance practice film. Remember from like way
that was a player day. Though. That was who? What player was it who dropped it?
That was the receiver.
Tay Martin,
the practice squad receiver who dropped
it. Was it Tay?
I don't even. Huh?
It might have been Tay Martin. No.
He's not on the team no more.
Not Stanford receiver. Damn, I know what you're talking about. He ended up going to a Texas team, to the Cowboys, I think, maybe.
Or I Texas. His name. Yeah.
But it's funny, though, because like he was only doing it just to put out his film to get picked up. And like everyone like saw Trey Lance, like, oh, crap. And so like it would be crazy if someone did it. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but it'd be kind of fun.
I'll never snitch.
I mean, I should just – the videos I get sent to me from someone I have on the team, I should just drop those clips, huh?
Oh, damn. You be outing somebody then.
No one would know. The funny part is no one would know. Like, no one would know that he sent it to me.
That is true. Maybe.
Unless I came forward and said a name or, like, but I wouldn't do stuff like that, guys. I'm not a bad person. Jesus Christ. You guys think I'm Bill Belichick? My buddy at work is besties with Brayson Mays. All y'all sleeping in the pancake maker. He's on the our squad too. Hold on. Your buddy at work is besties with Brayson Mays, and you haven't hit us up to get him on the show? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, hit us up. We can get the Southern Mississippi kid who's like 6'3 and a half or 6'4. I think he's 295, 300. Yeah, hit us up, man. Hit me up on Twitter. See if we get him on the show.
All right.
Leon Sandcastle says, not saying that Mostert speed, but looks like a little bit fat, maybe a little bit faster than a 4.61, maybe a 4.55.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 4.55. But even then, that's not letting blazing. Who's starting opposite of Mooney Ward?
I'd guess Lenore at the moment.
Yeah, I think it'll be Lenore. But I know the Niners want to keep Lenore inside at the nickel spot so they could offer him less money, which is very dirty. And I hope Lenore says it. Hope Lenore comes out and says it publicly, because I heard that from a couple of people. So I hope Demo says it. Niners want to keep him in the slot because they want to pay him less.
Yeah.
So you heard that here first. Heard it from multiple people, which is dirty of them. I mean, he's an outside guy. He can play outside. He can play inside. Guess what? He's versatile. Pay the damn man. You're not going to get a discount with him. Trust me. He's not. That's not the guy you want to discount with. Look how he tweets. He knows his worth. He knows his worth. You don't want to get in a Twitter battle with him next offseason. It'll be worse than what Ayuk's doing. I promise you that.
Actually, no. It'll be worse. Now I want to. I want to see it. That'd be kind of funny, you know?
No, you don't want to see him. I'm telling you, it would be worse than Debo and Brandon Ayuk. I guarantee. Just watch how he tweets, bro. Like, he tweets at people.
I know.
He would tweet at John Lynch. Like, you know what, John? I will f*** you up if you don't pay me, John. I'm a hyena, dog. I'm that dude. Like, I don't think John wants to see that. Like, I know John could probably handle his own, but, man, Demo, he could talk, man. I like his attitude, and I don't think the Niners want to get into that in a kind of negotiation. It's the principles. Right. See, I get you. Rohan, any other players that you're excited to see come in training camp or towards the next couple of weeks, what you're planning for or anything like that?
Yeah, I want to see you kind of line up against Trent Williams.
Hey, low key, I might hit him with a fake spin, and he might go thinking I'm going to spin on him, and I might beat him outside. Trent Williams in the Super Bowl was not that good, if we're being honest. Like, he was not Trent Williams in the Super Bowl.
I'm going to show him this clip right before you go one-on-one.
Send it to him. Send it to him. We could go one-on-one. We could go one-on-one.
Even if you beat him initially, he'll, like, recover and just throw you.
This will be the rules, though. There's rules to this, what we're doing, right? It's pass rush moves only, like one-on-one. He cannot, if he wins at the hands and he drops me to, he cannot land on me because that dude's big. He's a big dude. I'm not trying to die. He also, if I beat him, he also cannot just come up to me and body slam the shit out of me. Like, that's all I'm asking. Like, you could throw him, you could toss me off the club. I don't mind. We're going one-on-one. You toss me off the club. I'm get back up. I'm going to try to go again. But there's two. Those are the only rules. You can't body slam me if I beat you, and you cannot pay. You cannot fall on me, on that. So that's the rules. I may come up with other rules throughout the thing, because I'm not trying to get my ass. Dude, he's a big ass dude, bro. He's a big ass dude. No, I'm not on a sick one. No. Alberto, look, I'm not on a sick one. It's when I'm competitive. There's the difference between think like.
He'll
I played ball.
I'm competitive loser in this case. Just a
absolutely, and I'm gonna loser. and I would say I got my ass whipped by Trent Williams. There's not many people that would be like, hey, I'm willing to go one on one with Trent Williams pass rush. Like, not many people would be like, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do it and get my ass kicked and try again. Get my ass kicked though, and I know 100% he would whip my ass one on one in pass rush moves. I don't want to run block. Nope. We're not doing that because I'd die. Don't want to see him pulling me at the linebacker spot. Nope, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm smart about it. Like, I gave him rules, regulations. Can't kill me. Plain and simple. So it's not that I'm on one or on a sick one. It's just I'm competitive, and I would be willing to do that.
On a sick one. He always
Cole McKivitz. Cole McKivitz wants to see me. There ain't no rules. I'm a whoop on him on that one. Now that's stupid. That's another stupid comment, right? But Colton McKivitz, I would have a much better chance against Colton McKivitz than Trent Williams. Just make sure you wear your high socks.
Just talking, straight talking.
No, it's not on real talk. I would be willing to go up against any NFL player, like one-on-one pass rush, just to learn from them. Like, I would really get my ass kicked. I'm not saying I'm that dude or NFL player or anything like that. I would literally just do it just to ask them.
Watch him just secretly be like the next Nick Bosa, just like lurking in the shadows, you know?
Imagine. Bro, I can't be Nick Bosa, bro. Look at me. I'm a chubby Mexican who is under 6 foot, bro. Come on now. Well, you really think that's gonna work?
You could be Alex Barrett, you know, because Alex Barrett always wins them one on ones. Like, he's undersized as hell,
and you're right. Nah, honestly, I don't think Colton McKivitz would kill me because he's a nice person. Trent Williams is like that as a dog. Like, he's literally called himself the silverback. Like, bro, that's scary. Colton McKivitz is like, hey, how you doing, man? Like, he won't kill me because he's a nice person. Trent Williams would do it because he's in like that mindset to kill when he plays football. So there's a difference.
That's true. That is true.
There's a big difference. So, Rohan, you're going to be at camp, right?
Yeah, I'll be there. Marco will hopefully be there a couple of days as well.
I should be there. I'm hoping to be there 3 days straight between the 2nd and the 4th, I believe. That's the plan. Probably, no, for sure we'll be there that 2nd. Trying to add extra other dates and move things around to see if I could get there. Obviously, I won't be going up against anyone one-on-one because I'm not going to die. I enjoy living. Trent Williams would kill me, obviously. I'm joking. We'll not do anything stupid and get myself killed by an NFL player. I enjoy these guys, respect them. They're obviously elite athletes, nothing that I'm close to. I like to talk smack. But if someone wants to line up a receiver, if at corner and receiver, I'm willing to do that because, like, I'm not going to die. Like, I'm just going to get burnt or get cooked, you know? Like, I'm willing to do that or get clamped at the line of scrimmage. I'm not going to die. But
against George Pickens.
With George Pickens? Okay, I'm fine with that. I'm going to play off. I'm going to be smart, play off. I'm not going to go to the line of scrimmage. He's going to try to.
Care. He'll still run straight up to you, do something to you, and then make his move.
Yeah, but there's going to be refs. We're going to call like an actual game.
When does a ref stop him? He do not care.
Yeah, but he's not that good. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers. They're trying to take Brandon Ayuk. That's why. The fact that the Steelers extremely want Ayuk kind of shows you what they think about Pickens. To be honest with you, like, if you think Pickens is a true number one, why do you want Brandon Ayuk? Do you think BA is signed before training camp? That's actually a question, or should we hold that off?
We'll hold it because we'll go live soon, and then we'll do BA for next one.
That'd be funny. How many men out there can say they went heads up with Trent, right? Like, I'd be like, hey, I went up with Trent. I got my ass kicked, but I went up with Trent. I had heads up with Trent Williams. One-on-one, pass rush move, not heads up, nothing like that. I didn't let him kind of ran the other way. I ran the wrong way, but I still went heads up with him. I should be there. Rohan, do you expect Tanner Mordecai, an undrafted free agent that we have not talked about, to make some noise in training camp? Or is it just gonna be Larry Kruger hyping him up?
No, I think he's gonna be all right. I just don't see him beating out Josh Dobbs. I don't think that there's really a chance of that. Who else? Brandon Allen's on the team. I don't see him beating out Brandon Allen either. I think he's all right. I don't think that he's. I can understand why he'd fit the system, but I don't know. I don't know there.
Because you're knowledgeable on Tanner Mordecai. Like, you got to see him up close and personal pretty often. And like, when a lot of people will ask me, oh, what are your thoughts on Tanner Mordecai? Like, do you think he makes the roster? Does he make the practice squad? Blah, 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 blah. My first response is ask Rohan. Rohan was there every single game, home game for Wisconsin. He got to see him. And they asked me, I'm like, look, this is what I don't know. I didn't know if Rohan was at practice, but from what I saw is they cut the field in half for the guy. Like,
yeah,
they cut the field in half. Like, you can watch the film. And that tells you a lot when a team has to cut the field in half. And he came from a spread offense at SMU. SMU, right?
That's mm-hmm.
Southern. Yeah. He came from SMU, and like, they ran that spread offense. And I thought he should have came out after that spread offense. He would have probably had much higher draft value coming out of SMU than going to an NFL-like offense where they force you to get under center, they force you to do things that NFL teams are evaluating. So that should be interesting. Like,
yeah,
Rohan's thoughts are more important than anyone when it comes to
the made the wrong decision not to come out after his final year at SMU. I think he made the wrong decision to come to Wisconsin. I said it at the beginning of last year before Wisconsin started playing. And I don't think he was – it's not that he wasn't the right fit, because that's what our offensive coordinator likes to do. He's cut the field in half. I don't think it's Mordecai related specifically. I think it's just something he does. But Mordecai is a guy who likes to be aggressive. He might throw in danger sometimes. But he's on time with reads and things like that. Solid arm. We'll see. He's not going to be QB2. I don't see that. I think Josh Dobbs is going to be QB2. But I'm excited to see if he can create some competition, because he's got that dog mentality. That's the number one thing. He's a big time leader. He's got a dog to him. So curious to see how he plays for sure because of that.
The main reason he won't be QB2, and I don't care how well he plays or what he does in training camp or preseason, roster politics.
They paid Josh Dobbs.
They paid Josh
Dobbs in guaranteed money.
You're not gonna get rid of him. And I think they're paying Brandon Allen $2 million, I believe, guaranteed. I could be wrong, but I think they're paying both of them
that high. But I think he has a contract where it's like somewhere over $1 million guaranteed, or somewhere close to around that.
His cap hits at least 1.5.
Like, I know his salary might be.
So let me see. His dead cap is 1.1. Yeah, my bad. So it was the deal was $2 million. Sorry, deal was $2 million. Yeah. Total guaranteed was $700,000, which isn't much, but they would take on a dead cap
is $1.1 million.
It's 1.1. Yeah. So still, even then, like, if you're gonna keep a QB3 roster politics, like, they don't have much money to play with and have dead cap on their roster and stuff like that. So that plays a major factor into if an undrafted free agent can make your roster. Like, he would literally have to be like 6 for 6 every practice, throwing touchdowns, completely showing that he's special to beat those guys out to be QB2. That's just how I see it. I think
he's the fourth guy. How realistic is it that the fourth guy, when it's a room of four healthy guys, gets that many reps? Even if they don't
really play Brock Purdy was able, but the thing is with Kyle is,
but that Brock Purdy was in a room of three quarterbacks, not four.
It was four, wasn't it? It was Trey, Jimmy, Nate Sudfeld.
Sudfeld wasn't there. Purdy was at three.
You're right.
It was just Trey, Jimmy, and Purdy. And you know, this was also the time when Jimmy was like off to the side, like doing whatever for a little bit of time.
You're right. It was those two, and then because they kept the three quarterbacks. Sorry,
it was Sudfeld, Jimmy, Purdy.
But yeah, it was four.
Practice. He did not.
Yeah, that's
practice,
what it was.
So it was only three quarterbacks. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy decided to practice when it was convenient, and he knew he was on had the roster spot. Like after when they restructure everything.
After the guarantee kind of thing happened. Yeah.
After that $8 million restructure or whatever. But yeah, but he was at QB3 and he was only getting what, 5-6 reps a day, like, or throws at least, at most. And that's when, like, maybe Brandon Allen, he takes some Brandon Allen reps, or Brandon Allen does 7-on-7 work. And they use Mordecai to, I don't know, but it's very interesting in terms of what Mordecai can and can't do. I think he lacks arm strength. I think more so than anything, his film scared me. The fact that Wisconsin cut the field in half. I don't know if it's Wisconsin's offense that sucks.
I don't worry too much about that. I think it's because of the offense more than him. But I do think that there were some, you know, issues last year. The point about this, I don't think it matters too much if he beats him. The reason that Sudfeld didn't get the spot and Purdy didn't is because they were scared Purdy was going to be claimed by another team. Because when you remember in that class, a lot of teams or a lot of people had Purdy with a third round grade. And the reason he didn't go higher in the draft.
I don't agree.
After his junior year. That was a better draft class too. Remember, he had suitors as undrafted free agent. This was one of the weaker quarterback classes that we've seen in terms of depth. In terms of pure depth, one of the weaker ones. Mordecai goes undrafted. I don't see him getting claimed and being put on another 53.
Yeah, and the thing is, though, is with Brock at the time, you could cut Sudfeld because you knew Jimmy was your QB2.
Yeah,
you knew Jimmy was your QB2, and he was making $8 million. So you're gonna eat the $2 million anyways as a QB3 at that point. So like, who would you rather have, the upside player who you don't like, you know he could possibly be something, or a player or a player that you already know what he is in the NFL in Sudfeld? And I think the biggest difference with Tanner Mordecai is you're paying Josh Dobbs and Allen. You would eat like $6 million. So you could possibly do it for Brandon Allen. I just don't see you doing it over Josh Dobbs. Same situation, right? Like, you could keep Tanner Mordecai over Allen because now you're going with a player who might have more upside, has potential, versus you already know what Brandon Allen is, and sneak Brandon Allen on the practice squad if you can, which I don't think you would be able to. So I think it would be a similar situation. It would be for the QB3 spot, not the QB2 if he does end up making the roster. But I don't see how he makes the roster because they really like Brandon Allen in that room. They really feel Brandon Allen provides a lot of value to Brock Purdy in terms of getting him ready for during the week and on game days, being on the sideline. They feel like he is a valuable quarterback and a valuable piece to their roster.
Yeah, that could be the case. But definitely Mordecai's a guy who you kind of want to watch in the limited reps that he'll get. I don't know how they'll navigate a 4-quarterback room, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll keep y'all updated for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I think that'd be it for today's show, right, Rohan? You have anything going on rest of the weekend?
Looking to stream probably once, either over the weekend or early next week, and then get back on a more regular schedule as we get into the mold of things here ahead of training camp.
Absolutely. So I'll be going Friday with Ashley Ariana, trying to get back into the fold of things too. Probably we'll be doing Mondays more so. Variety of NFL, covering more than just the Niners. Wednesdays, Rohani and I usually try to record if we can. Hopefully we can get back on the schedule. Thursdays are with Jesse Naylor. And hopefully I had another date so I could talk more than just 49ers, to talk all NFL. Maybe Saturday mornings or something like that. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good idea. But everybody, thank you so much for today. We appreciate the comments. We appreciate everybody who's supporting. Thank you guys, because we're going to be back soon. And 49ers football is right around the corner. So catch you soon.
Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you've got what it takes, because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.